Well, it's good to see you here tonight on the midweek service, and it's good to have a guest with us, Melinda Reyes. Welcome home.
Thank you.
It's good to have you back. So you have a guest, Brother Herndon and his daughter, Emma. Is that right, Emma? Okay, I was thinking, man, I may have got the wrong name. And so they're headed back to Bible College, or Emma is, in Heartland Baptist Bible College. So pray for her. She's going to be starting back another year at Heartland Baptist Bible College. And so I'm glad they stopped in to join us in our service tonight. It's always good to see Brother Herndon and his family. Tonight we're going to finish our series on Psalm 119. It's been a while since we started this series, but we're in the last stanza, very last section of Psalm 119, verse 169 through verse 176. And so we're going to bring this magnificent chapter in the book of Psalms to a close tonight. And I'm kind of sad because it's been so helpful to me and encouraging. I hope that it has strengthened your confidence that God's Word is more than enough. It's more than enough to meet any and every need in your life. I mean, we're so blessed to have the Word of God. And we've learned so many things about the Word of God, what it does for us, and how vital it is to our spiritual life as believers. Before we read this 22nd and final stanza, I just want to say that this is a prayer of dependence. That's what I'm going to title this tonight, a prayer of dependence. And David is pouring out his heart to God as a wandering sheep who needed his divine shepherd to rescue him. You know, I really love this shepherd and sheep analogy that parallels our relationship with the Lord. You know, two of my favorite chapters in the Bible are Psalm 23 and John 10. I didn't say my favorite, two of my favorite. I love Psalm 23 and I love John 10. Both of them speak about the shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd, and Jesus being the good shepherd that lays down his life for the sheep. If you've done any study on sheep, you will understand why the scripture compares us to sheep. We are utterly helpless without a shepherd. Sheep are dull in understanding, and they are prone to wander. You know, sheep, it seems they always get themselves in a pickle all the time. And so I'm going to show you a video. Justin, can you pull that video up? I want to just give you a little short example of what I mean.
С этой стороны, против солнца. Давай, кто кого забудет?
You know, I thought that's a fitting description of sheep. I mean, the shepherd pulls us out of the ditch, and then next thing you know, we're back in the ditch. That's how sheep are. I want to read our text, and then we're going to pray before we look at this prayer of dependence. And another title we could call it would be A Sheep's Cry to the shepherd. Psalm 119, verse 169. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word. For all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me. For I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Amen. Father, tonight we come to you as our shepherd. We're so thankful for your son Jesus, the good shepherd, who laid down his life for us, who leads us, speaks to us, and calls us, and leads us beside those still waters, maketh us to lie down in those green pastures, and leadeth us in paths of righteousness for your name's sake. Oh, we're so thankful, Lord Jesus, for you being our shepherd and the bishop of our souls, for loving us, caring so deeply about us, and for caring for us like a good shepherd would. And Lord, as we look at this final section in this great psalm of the Word of God, we see this prayer of dependence. Oh God, help us to be reminded tonight of our dependence upon the shepherd. That apart from you, we will wander and stray. But apart from you, we will not grow in our love for you. We will not grow in our walk with you. Oh, how we need you. How we need you daily. And Lord, I don't know, there could be someone here tonight that this passage describes, a sheep that has wandered like a lost sheep. If that's the case, Lord, I pray that tonight they would cry out to you. They would come back to you. Father, pray you bless your word tonight as you promised to do and as you've done time and time again. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. We do not know for sure if David was the author of this psalm, but I want to say he was. I mean, he wrote many, many of the psalms. And David being a shepherd himself, it seems fitting that he would write this particular psalm. Because David was a man after God's own heart. I mean, I don't know anyone that was as close to the Lord as David was among the psalm writers. He was someone who longed for God's word. Someone who loved God's word. He obeyed God's word, and yet he confesses right here in this stanza that he is vulnerable, that he is prone to wander from the God he loves. Now I want you to think about that. A man that's after God's own heart, a man that loves God. I mean, we've read through this psalm and we can see how many times does David say, but thy law do I love. How many times did he express his love for the Word of God? How many times did he express his love for the Lord? I mean, over and over and over again. And it's almost shocking for some people to read this last verse. I mean, let's just go back to verse 1 of the psalm. It starts out with, "Blessed are the undefiled in the way, who walk in the law of the Lord. Blessed are they that keep his testimonies and that seek him with their whole heart. They also do no iniquity. They walk in his ways." You know, I think about as it starts with that description of blessedness of the man that walks with God. And then here at the very end, he said, "I've gone astray like a lost sheep." I want you to understand, he's not saying that he became lost. He's not saying that he is a lost sheep. There's a key word there, like. He said, I went astray like a lost sheep. "Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." We need to be reminded tonight that we too are prone to wander. You know, I did ask Curtis to sing "Come Thou Fount" tonight, because that song came to mind when I was studying this passage and this thought that we are prone to wander from the God we love. That comes from that song or that hymn, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." It's a sad truth, but nevertheless, it's true. It's true of believers, of all of us, even of those that are the most passionate followers of God. It is true. There are times that if we do not live in dependence on God and walk closely to Him and walk in dependence on Him, walk in the Spirit, we're going to wander. Our mind will wander. Our hearts will wander. I know mine does. I mean, it wanders a lot. My heart wanders a lot more than I want it to. But this whole stanza is a conversation between David and his God. Or we could say a prayer. I chose that word conversation because that's what prayer should be. I realize there's different kinds of prayer. There's different aspects of prayer. There's confession. There's thanksgiving. There's supplication. There's different aspects. But prayer should be like a conversation. A son talking with his father. It should be that real and that intimate and that personal. And that's what I believe that this particular section of Scripture reveals. This tall section reveals this intimate, personal relationship that David had with his shepherd, with his Lord. Because he could come near to him and cry out. He could come near to him and offer his supplication. You know, there's a boldness in this prayer, but there's also humility. And I see that right at the beginning. This word "cry," "let my cry come near before thee." This is bold. I mean, to come before God, crying out to God to help. There's a sense of boldness about it. But then in the next verse, "let my supplication come before thee." Supplication would speak of humility. He's humbly coming before God, and as he's confessing his need for his shepherd to guide him, to rescue him. I want to just say that there will never be a time in this life when we will know enough about God, believe enough in God, or love God enough to be independent of Him. Amen. There'll never be a place in your life or a time in your life where you'll be so strong as a Christian that you can be independent of God. Amen. We always have to be dependent. God has made us that way, to be dependent on Him. That's why we're sheep. We need our shepherd. We're dependent on our shepherd for life, for sustenance, for protection, for everything. I think the more we get to know the Lord, the more we understand His Word, the more we realize how much we need Him. Annie Hawks, the hymn writer, and Robert Lowry expressed this truth so well in the hymn, "I Need Thee Every Hour." Most gracious Lord, I need Thee every hour. So as we look at this prayer of dependence tonight, we're going to look at four things that David pleads for. And I want to just point out before we look at this, you'll notice the word "let." How many times the word "let"? So this indicates that it is a prayer. We see it in verse one, the first two verses. "Let my cry, let my supplication." And then we see it again in verse 173. "Let thine hand help me." Then verse 175. "Let my soul live." And at the end of it, "And let thy judgments help me." This is a prayer. He's requesting something from the Lord. He's coming to the shepherd in dependence on God, requesting and pleading with God. The first thing we're going to look at tonight that he pleads for is understanding. He pleads for understanding. Look in verse 169. "Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord." And notice what he requests. This is his cry. "Give me understanding according to thy word." You know, first I want to point out that this cry is almost like the bleating of the sheep. You know that video we just watched when that lamb jumped right back into the pit. He was crying for help. You know, I want to just say that when a sheep gets lost, the only option, or when it gets in a pickle like that, or the ditch, the only option he has is to cry. To bleed out and cry, or to lay down and die. That's it. A sheep has no natural defense mechanism. They're totally dependent on the shepherd. And so when a sheep gets separated or in danger, the main objective of that sheep is to cry out in hopes that the shepherd is near, in hopes that the shepherd is seeking. And so he says, "Let my cry come near before thee." He wants the shepherd to hear his cry. In this particular verse, he cries for understanding. You know, we've seen this request throughout this psalm. Verse 27, verse 34, verse 73, verse 125, verse 144. There are a number of times that he prayed, "Lord, give me understanding." And now that he's a sheep that has gone astray, that has wandered, he's pleading, crying for understanding. And I want you to notice something. He says, "according to thy word." This is the key. He's not just saying, "Lord, I want understanding so I know how to become a millionaire, Or I want understanding so I know how to make good financial decisions. And I'm not saying that that's a bad prayer. He wants divine discernment. He wants to see things like God sees them. He's praying, God, I want understanding according to thy word. He wants God to open his mind and his heart to understand the ways of God, because he's gone away from the ways of God. He's wandered from the ways of God. He's like a lost sheep at this point. And so he's pleading for God to give him understanding according to his word, to give him a discernment so that he can be in perfect harmony with the word of God. God, help me to see things as you see them. You know, if more Christians would see things as God sees them, it would make a huge difference. I mean, we just finished the book of Judges in our Bible reading, and what did it say? Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. Every man was doing right according to his own understanding of things. That's dangerous. We need divine discernment. We need the understanding to be able to see things the way God sees them. To have divine wisdom. You know, this is a great prayer for sheep that have wandered from the shepherd. Because I think we can all understand that when we stumble away from God, it hinders our ability to understand the truth. It's always true when Christians start to wander from God, they get pretty dull in their understanding of things. When you start walking in the flesh, it's almost like the Spirit turns off that divine understanding or something. I mean, you look at Christians that have gone away from the Lord and you try to talk to them, they have it, their own understanding of why they are where they're, like, they will justify why they are where they are. But if there's true humility and brokenness, they're gonna admit their sin and that God is right and come back to the truth. When we wander, it hinders our ability to understand. And so this is a great prayer, and really, the only reason we can understand any kind of truth in the Word of God is when the Holy Spirit illuminates us. There's nothing I could understand. I could not understand His Word apart from the Holy Spirit, apart from God giving me understanding. Same is true for you. And so when we walk away from fellowship with the Lord, it stands reason that we're going to lose our ability to understand spiritually things the way God sees them. And that's where David is. He's lost at this point. I'm not saying spiritually lost, but he's wandered from God and he's like a lost sheep, and he's seeking, crying out to God. He's like that sheep in that ditch crying out, God, I need your hand to help me. I need some understanding. When you find yourself in this position of not understanding what to do, you feel like you've gone away from the Lord, do what David did. Cry out to God. Come to the Lord. Cry out to Him. Ask Him to give you understanding. The second plea we see is deliverance. In the next verse, let my supplication come before thee. And notice what he says, deliver me according to thy word. Deliver me according to thy word. Here he's requesting God to deliver. We don't know what kind of deliverance he's needing. There's no explanation. Maybe he had enemies that were persecuting him. Maybe he's praying in a spiritual sense that God deliver me from my apathy. Deliver me from my sin. Deliver me from my wandering. You know, this could be applied in many ways in our Christian life. There's times we need deliverance, physical deliverance, spiritual deliverance. But I want you to notice he qualifies it with that phrase, according to thy word. He wants deliverance according to God's word. Now, I do want to point out something. Remember when we started this study, we talked about there are two Hebrew words that are used for word. Speaking of God's word. One, dabar, means speaking of God's word in general. In fact, his whole revelation, this would be like dabar. This is the sum of his revelation right here that we have in Scripture. The other Hebrew word is imra, which speaks of his promises. You know, we find so many promises in his word. You know, we use it in the sense, I give you my word. What are we saying? I promise. How many times does God give us a promise? And it really is neat when you look at it that way, because he says, deliver me according to thy promises, to your promised word. Because God promises when we cry to him, when we turn to him, he will hear, he will deliver us. So he's pleading for God to deliver him according to his promises. And it's not so he can live some kind of pleasure-seeking life or anything like that. Because he's asking for deliverance in accordance with God's word. He not only believes what God had said, but he's asking God to carry it out just as he promised. Before we move to the next plea, there's verse 171 and 172. These are not prayer requests, but it's like it. After these first two requests, David is so confident that God's going to answer his prayer that he tells God what he's going to do when he answers. Let's read verse 171. My lips shall utter praise. Now, shall is future. So he's saying, this is something I'm going to do when thou hast taught me thy statutes. Remember, he said, God, I want you to give me understanding according to your word. And so he says, God, when you have taught me, my mouth's going to utter for praise. And this word utter means, it speaks of a gushing forth, like a spring or a river just gushing forth. And so he's talking about an excitement of praise. I mean, he said, God, when you teach me and give me understanding, my lips are going to pour out praise. The next verse says, my tongue shall speak of thy word. And this is Imre promises. My tongue shall speak of thy word. For all thy commandments are righteousness. Not only is he going to pour out praise, but he's going to speak of those promises, speak of God's word. You know, in our Connect class, we're learning, or we have been learning for a period of time, about being a repeater. And that is that when God speaks to us truth through preaching, through our time with the Lord, when God speaks to us in his word, and that we are to meditate on those truths, we're to apply those truths, and we're to share those truths. We're to repeat those truths to others, to our children, to our family, to our neighbors, to our friends, to our fellow church members. We repeat the truths. Here he's talking about that. My tongue's going to speak of thy word. And he tells the reason why. For all thy commandments are righteousness. You know, commandments is another word for his word. And when it's specifically used, it speaks of his commandments that we know of. We know of the Ten Commandments. We know when he issues a command for us to follow. But he says they're all righteousness, meaning that they're all right. They're all correct. They're all accurate. They're all perfect. There's no arguing here with God's word. He believes that all of his commandments are righteousness. Do you believe that tonight, that all of his commandments are righteousness? I mean, there are some commandments that we may not like because they address our sin that we love. But he says, I'm going to speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. Now let's look at the third plea in his prayer. He pleads for help in verse 173 and verse 174. There's a plea for help here. He says, let thine hand help me. Well, I think it was illustrated in that video. How many of you think that sheep could have gotten out of that ditch? I don't think it had been possible. He was pretty cinched in, pretty tight. There's no way. His legs were not even touching the bottom. There's no way he would have gotten out. If the shepherd had not come, he would have died in that pit or that ditch. The plea here is for the shepherd to help with his hand. You know, in the scripture, the hand speaks of power, of might and ability. Of course, we know God's hand is mighty. God's hand is powerful. You know, a verse that came to my mind, and I'm going to turn there because I may misquote it. Isaiah. Isaiah 59, in verse 1, behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither is ear heavy that it cannot hear. You know, I love that verse. And the next verse. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. You know, God's hand is not shortened that he cannot save. His hand is, he can reach down to any area in our life and give help. There's nothing that God can't help us with. And that's why he is pleading here for the shepherd's hand to help to help him. And he says, "For I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight." You know, even though he'd gone astray, he still belongs to the Lord. He still loves the Lord. He still delights in the Word. You know, that's not a contradiction. I mean, we can love God, we can love His Word, and yet wander from Him. Amen. We come to the fourth plea, His rescue, in these last two verses. "Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee. Let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments." Again, that video, the sheep was he was a dead sheep. I mean, the shepherd had not reached forth his hand to help and rescue. He was dead. As good as dead. "Let my soul live," he says. He was in this kind of situation where he needed God's intervention. He needed God to rescue. You know, soul speaks here of the totality of life in this sense, you know, because he breathed into man, you know, the breath of life, and he became a living soul. It's who we are. We are a soul. You're a living soul. "Let my soul live, and it shall praise Thee. Rescue me, Lord." You know, most likely he was referring to physical rescue, and probably a spiritual as well, because of verse 176. It seems like the physical and spiritual are always connected. When we wander spiritually, it just seems like we get in a bind physically. We get in trouble physically. That word "live," it's a word that could be defined in different ways. It, you know, it could be defined as to continue to live and not die. It could be defined as to restore to life. It could be defined with the word "revive" or "quicken." So there are different ways to look at this. "Let my soul be quickened." I mean, over and over he prayed that in this psalm. I mean, a wandering sheep, he needed revival. He needed life. Spiritually. You know, when God gives us life spiritually and revives us, we're going to praise Him. But it's also true when we're in a physical place where we might be close to death's doors and God delivers us, rescues us, we're going to praise Him. I don't know how many times you've been close to death, but I can think of a few times I had. And I'm sure there are a lot more that I didn't know about. Thank the Lord for ministering spirits which are sent to minister to us. Amen. Angels that minister to the saved. And so he says, "Let my soul live, and let thy judgments help me." You know, judgments is another one of those words for the Word of God. One of those eight words we've looked at, mispat or misfat. It's God's judgments, God's pronouncements. It could be that he was going through some... He was at a point where he needed rescuing because of his sin, because he wandered away from the Lord. And so he said, God, let thy judgments help me. You know, as we stop and reflect, when we're in those situations, we stop and reflect, God allowed me to be where I am right now. God allowed me to be in this situation where I need him to rescue me right now, or I'm going to die. I'm good as dead if he doesn't rescue me now. You know, those judgments can teach us. Chastisement is what Hebrews 12 calls it. The chastisement of the Lord. He loves us. And that's why he chastens us. So he's pleading with God to rescue. Let my soul live. I had gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant. This is interesting. He, even though he had wandered, he was still God's servant. He still recognized who he was. He still recognized he belonged to God. He still recognized that God was his Lord and his master. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Aren't you thankful that Jesus is your shepherd? I realize tonight I'm preaching to a Wednesday night crowd, and there could be someone here not saved. I don't know your heart, but if that's the case, then as a lost sheep, the shepherd is seeking. He wants you to come to him. He laid down his life for you. If you're saved here tonight, we should rejoice that Jesus is our shepherd, that he loves us so much. He left the 99 to go find the one lost sheep. You know, I think I shared it in prayer meeting Sunday morning that we were sharing what are some specific ways that the Lord has personally shown his goodness to you. I think that was the question. I may have got it a little wrong, but something like that. And I would just like his pursuit of me to be like Christ. It's constant. I mean, it's like, though we may fail and though we may struggle, though we may wander, he is constantly pursuing us. He's constantly committed to us as a shepherd. I mean, if you read about a good shepherd, I'm telling you, they lay down their lives for the sheep. And that's not to say that we should just lie on our back and wait. Cry out to him. Plead and cry. You know, David is a good example for us in this passage. Because there are times in life when we stumble as believers. There are times in life when we do the very things that we would not allow or that we hate. There are times when our relationship with God is not what it ought to be. It's at those moments that, like David, we cry out to God. We plead with God. Cry out in desperation. Because only he can find you. But don't forget to praise him. You know, as David says, my lips shall utter praise. And then verse 175, and it shall praise thee. Let my soul live and it shall praise thee. Don't forget to praise him. Like last week we looked, David said, seven times a day will I praise thee. Don't forget to praise him. You know, this psalm has just reminded me once again today of how much I'm dependent on him. How every day I need to talk with him. How every day I need his word. Every day I need to examine my heart. Every day I need to pray. And you know, as you look at this passage, it's a prayer of dependence. You can see the foundation of prayer in the life of a servant of the Lord. If you're saved and you love God and you're serving God, listen, this is a prayer that we need from time to time. Prayer is a foundation of our walk with God. Without prayer, we're good as dead. I've gone astray, you said, like the lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Let's pray. Father, tonight we again thank you so much for this journey through the Word of God song. Thank you so much for your Word and everything that it means to us and how it's so vital to our walk with you, to our spiritual life. It's our life. It's through your word that we are cleansed, and through your word that we are set right, and through your word that we are instructed and given wisdom. I mean, through your word we're saved. Lord, through your word we grow. Lord, it's through your word that we get orders on how to serve you, how to live for you. Lord, there's so much, so much that your word does for us. It's so precious. It's so wonderful. And help us, Lord, to cherish and love your word. Obey your word, to delight in your word. And as David said, to not forget your commandments. God, how quickly we can forget. Lord, help us. And Lord, I'm thankful that we have an example here of a man who loved you, a man who longed after you, who delighted in your word. And yet, he wandered as a lost sheep. Lord, it's happened to every one of us. There's been times in our life where we've wandered. God, I don't know, could be someone here tonight in that place. God, I pray that they would not wait to run to the shepherd, to cry out to the shepherd, to be restored. God, please, I pray that they would do that before it's too late. Father, thank you for loving us. Thank you for your grace that restores and forgives and that receives us. Oh Lord, we praise you for that. Lord, use your word tonight to meet the needs of each and every person here. I pray that and trust that you have spoken to every single person here tonight about something in their life. I pray that they would apply your word, apply what you've spoken to them about, that they would respond in humility, submission, and obedience. They can experience your blessings and grace. Lord, I'm thankful that your word says that you give it more grace. You give grace to the humble, but you resist the proud. God, help us not to be stubborn and proud, but to realize our need of you and come to you tonight. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for seeking us. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.